You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. In this series, The Gospel of Luke, Jesus for All, we walk through Luke's account of the life and ministry of Christ.
If you'd like to open your Bibles to Luke 16, we're going to be there and we're going to be in a couple other places this morning. This passage has nothing directly to do with Mother's Day. This is just a continuation of our study, so please don't feel slighted, moms. My mom's birthday was actually yesterday, so it's sometimes her birthday falls on Mother's Day, and we had to be really nice as kids on those days. But today, as we are in Luke chapter 16, we're going to be hearing a parable of Jesus. And the first time, as I was preparing, I read it, and most of it's tracked along and it's making sense. And you get to near the end of it, and like, this is a weird parable. What does this have to do? So I'm asking all of us just to be patient as we are unpacking what Jesus says here. So let me read just the first 8 verses of chapter 16, and then we'll pray, and then we will start to unpack what is Jesus saying here in this parable. So, chapter 16. And he said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in your accounts in your management, for you can no longer be a manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking my management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what I will do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, 'Take your bill and write 80. And the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you again just for the voices that have been raised to you this morning as we are worshiping you and realizing that we are lost apart from you. But God, that through your holiness, through your righteousness, you have made a way for us to return to you with open arms, waiting to forgive us, to restore us, and empower us to live the way that you have called us to live. Father, thank you for your wisdom and your Holy Spirit that allows us to understand these words. And may we see what you are revealing to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, this parable seems a little weird from the onslaught, because whenever we frequently read parables and we see a master, like the word master, like, oh, that's God, okay? That's our God, that's Jesus, that's like the good person in this story. And then we get to the end, it's like the master commended this shrewd guy for his shrewdness. Okay, God wants us to be like evilly and shrewd and corrupt in our dealings? No, okay? As one person said, like, what is Jesus, John Piper, as he was talking about this passage, he's like, what is the truth that we can see about God in this sin? Again, not that God has sinned, but like, what is the truth that Jesus is trying to reveal through this parable, okay? And again, this is a parable, so we're not going to like tear it apart because it's a story that means something else. So we are going to look at it a little bit, but we're not going to like every single word and syllable. There's a comma here that means something. Okay, no. Okay. So, but what happens? So there's this master. He brings charges against his manager that he's been corrupt in his dealings. And the manager, he's like, I'm out of work. I'm not strong. I'm not smart. I'm done. And so the manager, he's like, I have an idea. I'm going to go to all of my master's debtors, the people that owe him money, and I'm going to cut a deal with them. So they're basically going to owe me one. Because he's like, where will I do? He says, I have decided. So when I remove that, people may receive me into their houses. Okay, I want to do something really good for them. So in the future, when I need a favor, when I'm poor, when I'm hungry, they will invite me in. So he essentially goes in and slashes prices. He says, hey, you owed 100, write 80. You owed 100, write 50. And the master commended him for his shrewdness. Like, okay, that's a pretty smart thing. That's pretty slick what you just did. I love a good heist movie. And there's several of them at the end. Like sometimes like the people that have the job pulled on them, they're like, well done, you got me. Like that was a good one. And we're at home like, yeah, the villains won. Wait a minute, okay. But a good heist movie. And in a way, that's kind of what's happening here. The master's like, okay, that worked, you got me. Now, we also don't know what happens after this story. Again, it's a made-up story that Jesus said, so we don't know what happened next. I mean, the guy could have been, like, executed. We don't know, but anyways, that's... So, Jesus is not saying be, like, evil and shrewd in your finances. He is not saying that at all. But what this manager was trying to do is basically, hey, you're going to owe me one. You're going to owe me one. So in the future, I'm taking care of myself in the future by doing something good for you now, by the way I'm treating you now, so that in the future, you'll owe me one. Well, let's keep reading. So verse 8 and 9. Okay, so the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And then Jesus goes on to say, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their dealings with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Again, like, okay, on first reading, maybe you were like me, like, okay, what is he saying? We are to, like, be, there's this unrighteous wealth, we're to make friends with sinners, and what's going on here? Well, let's talk through this. Let's think through this. This word in verse 9 that kind of tripped me up for a while, and then I read some more on it, but like by means of unrighteous wealth. This unrighteous wealth, it means like earthly wealth or wealth that you need to actually live here on earth. So that's what, it's not sinful gain, but it's just earthly money. The fact that you have a car, the fact that you are wearing clothes, you probably used unrighteous wealth, earthly money to buy those things. And that's just something we need to live. We need finances in order to live in this world that we have. We need finances to keep the lights on and the air conditioning on in this building. So Jesus says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. So you're allowed to use earthly money. And so that's what he's talking about there. But what does this have to do with making friends? Okay, let's keep looking at this. This manager was very shrewd in the way that he treated his master. He was very shrewd, and he was thinking ahead. He was like, I'm planning for my future. I'm going to be really shrewd. I'm going to be very cutting and strategic so that I can get ahead. And Jesus is like, hey, my followers, this generation, these sons, excuse me, the sons of this world, they treat their own people very shrewdly to get ahead. And then, as John Piper says about this verse, maybe you aren't that shrewd when it comes to the stock market. Maybe you're not very smart on how to get ahead in the stock market, or like some people I know into crypto. I know it's a thing, I don't know, anyways. Maybe you aren't as shrewd when it comes to the stock market, but guess what? Who cares? You've got a billion years to enjoy your heavenly investments. These folks, they're going to lose theirs in 80 years or less. So these are the sons of this earth, like they're very shrewd in the way that they're trying to get ahead, but they're getting ahead like a maximum of 80 years and then their life ends. Who cares? He says, Jesus is saying we, for his followers, we are to live in a way that is thinking, there's this key word in verse 9, eternally. There's the two key phrases in verse 9 here. And one of them is this eternal dwellings. I tell you, make friends of yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. This eternal dwellings. Again, we are to use money, take hold of it, and use it for eternal spiritual purposes, namely to provide security in eternity. That's a quote from John Piper. I am not saying we buy ourselves into heaven or we buy other people's way out of heaven. Not saying that. But we use our money thinking about eternity and how it is going to affect eternity. How are we using our finances, our time, how are we using our finances and our time to proclaim the gospel to other people? How are you using the finances that God has given you to be able to tell them about Christ, to proclaim the kingdom, to be generous to others? I know when I was at the end of the college year, we had meal swipes, and it was not uncommon at the end. Like, people would be like, hey, can you hit me up for a couple meal swipes? And you would swipe them in. Like, that was something we would do in our college. I know college students, we don't have a ton of money. I'm not a college student. College students, you don't have a ton of money maybe at your disposal. But like, how can you use what God has given you to be generous to others, to be thinking eternally about the future? I remember one Sunday when I was a little kid, and it seemed odd. We were at our church. They were passing the offering plate, and all of a sudden, I heard this loud ka-thunk sound in the offering plate. I'm like, what is that? As a little distracted kid, and my dad, for whatever reason, had dropped his car keys into the offering plate. And so we all later were like, why'd you do that, Dad? And he made a joke of it. He's like, well, you know, I didn't want to forget my car keys, so I dropped them in there. And I thought that was weird, but it wasn't until many, 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 many years later that I had a realization. My father, he's a pastor, but he's incredibly generous. Doesn't have much, but he's incredibly generous. And whenever somebody would need a ride or need to be able to borrow a vehicle, he would give them the keys. I can't help but wonder if all those years ago, if that's what he was saying, when he dropped those keys in the offering plate, like, God, this vehicle is your vehicle. Use me as you want. He would use it for visitations. He would use it to help move people. He would use it to go out and hand out things into the community. Use our money, take hold of it to provide security for eternity. This second phrase in here, though, is also this unrighteous wealth. Use it, and when it fails. Not if, but when it fails, is this other verse that we, the other phrase that we see here. Make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails. Well, again, thinking of the entirety of the book of Luke, Jesus is speaking here, and just a few pages before, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives the parable of the rich fool. This is the man who had so much stuff in his barn. He's like, I want to tear it down and make another barn. So that way, my soul will have ample goods laid up for many years to eat, drink, and be merry. And then, for those of us who know the story, it says that night, his life was required of him. So it is, the one who lays up treasure for himself is... Sorry, I need to back up. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is for the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And then later on, again, that's verse 21. Verse 33, Luke 12, 33, Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens, those eternal dwellings, that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. So he says, lay up treasures in a place, lay up your money in a way, be shrewd towards the eternal things, because those things will not fail. Those things will not fail. Jesus is telling us we are to make friends of this world using our money, proclaiming the gospel, this eternal gospel. And what if, he says, so that they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. So what if, it's almost like Jesus is painting this picture here of like, imagine you proclaim the gospel, you invest time, you invest money, you invest all these things into people's lives, sharing messy lives with people as you proclaim the gospel and live life with them and disciple them and grow together. What if, and then they go on to heaven before you. And so when you pass away, those people, imagine, it's almost like Jesus saying, and they will welcome you. Welcome home. Welcome home. We are so glad that you are here. We've been waiting for you. Your shrewdness in investing in us, your intentionality of thinking ahead, welcome home. So it's like, here's the basic point. Like, we don't need to worry about being a shrewd investor in this age, where you can provide a future that will only fail. Instead, be a really shrewd investor by investing into people's lives. Be a really shrewd investor by investing into people's lives. Use the resources to do as much good as you can for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. Others will go ahead before you and they will welcome you home. Be a really shrewd investor into people's lives. You thought that manager was shrewd? How shrewd, again, how much can you be thinking ahead by intentionally speaking this truth into people's lives with your time, with your finances? This is what followers of Christ are supposed to do. So, and then Jesus again unpacks this a little bit more in verses 10 through 13. It says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And the one who is dishonest in very little will also be dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, again, that earthly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can love two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. If anyone has ever worked and had like two bosses, or at least two people that both thought they were your boss, you know it is impossible. It is impossible to satisfy two different people's demands. So it is with God and with money. God demands that we worship Him alone and to live to serve others. But money demands that we work for what the world has to offer and to live for ourselves. How could anyone serve both demands at the same time? Yet, this is what many try to do. This is what many try to do. So if we actually believe this last line, if we actually believed it, we know it, it's in our brain, okay, yeah, can't serve God, can't serve money, money's the root of all evil. Like, we could say those things, but like when we really believe it, like we digest it down, not from head knowledge, but like into our heart. If we believe that, and when verse 13 says, you cannot serve God and money, we would all say, well, duh. The money that God has entrusted to me is being used for kingdom work. Of course I'm not worshiping the stuff God has given me. Of course. We know this, but then when it comes to things, we get nervous. I get nervous. I get nervous. Now why is that? Why do we get nervous? Well, I think it goes back to, you know, in Matthew 5, when Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking about, look at the flowers of the field. Aren't they beautiful? Look how I dress them. The birds, I feed them. Are you not more valuable than birds and flowers? I'll take care of you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. I got you. But somewhere we know it, but then when we start to think about like the things that we love and desire, like we want comfort, at least I do. We want this sense of security. And if I have a large retirement and if I have a bank account and my money in is greater than my money out, like things are okay. Because what about that unexpected medical emergency, or whenever the hot water heater blows out and floods the basement, or we get a tornado and it rips off our roof? Like, what are we to do? I know God said he'll give us our daily bread, but what about a new roof? So maybe that's just me. So then what do I do? Like, well, okay, I'm going to try to take this job, or I'm going to work these extra hours, or I'm going to do these things so that way I get more money because I want this comfort, want this sense of security, but I'm going to do it for God. And there's an asterisk in my voice as I say that. Paul, he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6, I'm not saying finances are bad. Paul speaks in 1 Timothy 6 about how rich Christians, rich believers, rich followers of Christ are to live. In 1 Timothy 6, 17, he says, "And as for the rich in your present, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future." Again, the idea of thinking ahead, those eternal dwellings, "so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." And he's not saying, donate everything away, give it all away. He says, no, they are to be generous in good works. They are to be ready to share, investing and laying up a foundation in things that are truly life, truly life. Also, if we think, when we see in the book of Acts, the sequel to the book of Luke, when we see in Acts chapter 2 in the early church, we see that in chapter 2, 42, it says, "And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done among the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all who had need. Day by day, they were attending the temple and breaking bread in their homes and receiving their homes with glad and generous hearts." When the church is doing what the church has been called to do, it's much easier for us to trust God because God is providing for us. We are getting our daily bread. We are getting the things that we need through God and through God's people. Because these people here, it seems these people in Acts, they were thinking about those eternal homes. They were thinking ahead, and they were being generous. They had that shrewdness of intentionality of sharing and thinking ahead in the way that they lived their lives and the things that they devoted themselves, the things that they desired most. So as we saw, like, we cannot serve God and money. We cannot worship God and money, because when we do, we will love one and despise the other. We cannot let your life's goal to be God and money. Yes, we need finances to live. Yes, we need a job. We need jobs. We need those things. But when our end goal is to be rich, Scripture tells us, like, those things will fade away in the midst of their pursuits. In James 1, James says those exact things. "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. And the sun rises, and with its scorching heat, it withers, withers the grass, and the flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will a rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. This is, but blessed is the man who stands fast during trials. When we are trusting God, when we are thinking ahead and proclaiming to others and using our time and our money for others, for the kingdom, that's what God is commending here. That's what Christ is commending in Luke 16. So that's what Jesus is talking about in Luke 16. And this is not a sermon where we're like, and now we're going to take an offering. Okay, we're not doing that. But as Jesus has said here, we cannot serve God and money. Over the last last 5 weeks, we're entering week six, there's a book, there's still some on the back there if you would like to take it, Evangelism Takes Heart, where we've been talking about, okay, what are the things that we desire and how does that affect our evangelism, us telling others? I hope you've been going through it and maybe you're like, ooh, that book has a little dusty. Dust it off and just start wherever you're at. If you want to start at where we are in week six, awesome. If you want to start back on page one, do that. Because that is thinking about eternal dwellings and how you can proclaim this message and have a heart to tell other people about these eternal dwellings. It also, we don't have to, we can just pick one person and shrewdly invest into that one person, relentlessly sharing and pointing. With a desire and with a hope and a prayer that they will go before us. And maybe they will be the ones that, welcome home. I have some things to show you. Come with me. Those are the things that will not fail. Those are the things that no thief can take away, that moth cannot corrupt. Those are the things that will not fail. So we are to use our resources to do as much good as we can for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. That is shrewdness that will have an eternal impact. Let's pray together. Father, as we've looked at this parable this morning, may I not have spoken out of turn. May I have proclaimed you as you would desire to be proclaimed this morning. God, as we have prayed many times today, as we have proclaimed many times today, may our hearts be changed by the things that you are saying. Not by the things that I say, not by any of the things the elders of this church say, but by your Holy Spirit changing our hearts. Father, thank you to those who continually to give to the ministry and who are generous at this church, who are thinking of others by the way that they use their money, the money that you have given to them. Father, reveal in me and reveal in others areas where there is selfishness and pride and doubt. May we repent of those things and trust you fully. Father, we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. To learn more about our church, visit our website at mountainCTY.church. Thanks again, and may the Lord bless your week.